Well, good morning, family. Today we are continuing our series. This is, in fact, the last week of our Life on the Vine series. We've been looking at John 15, which is such a deeply influential passage to how we think about our congregational life and the way that we grow with Jesus and in Jesus. In fact, we cannot grow apart from Jesus, and that's the main thrust of the passage. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me, and you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And so we're encountered with a really crazy, just the reality of it. As soon as we're cut off from Jesus, there's nothing we can do. So as a church, as the church, there are two separate parts. There's the organization and there's the organism. When we think about the church body, the people of the church, this is the organism. This is the life of the church, and we are connected to Jesus. But in order to be as fruitful as possible, much like a vine grows on a structure, on a trellis, we have a structure here at Community of Grace. And when we program our different ministries and our different opportunities, we want to invite you to participate in different ways. And we've gone over those in the past 3 weeks. 3 weeks ago, speaking on worship, that is one of the ways that we together as a community are connected to Jesus. We serve. So we worship, we serve, which is where we put our hands to work, much like Jesus has done for us. He serves us, we serve others. Then there's the community aspect. We invite each other to become a community with one another, not just staring at the back of each other's heads every Sunday, but to have an opportunity to be face-to-face and to be in a circle so that we can do these things together and grow in Christ. And this week is witness. Now, this is a new one for us. If you've been around for 10 years, you'll say, well, I'm familiar with worship, serve, and connect, but witness we haven't heard of. And as we kind of keep saying, this is a new thing for us as a church, and it is essential to the life of the church. But I won't go into the, I think there's a historical perspective on witness. You can ask me about it over a cookie later, and why Lutheranism has trouble with it. But we need to have a witness in the world. Pastor Angie laid out a couple great definitions earlier. But why would we witness? When we talk about bearing fruit and being in Jesus, why do we witness? Well, I would say we witness as a continuation of the restoring work of Jesus. We witness as a continuation of the restoring work of Jesus. Jesus is restoring all creation. He's bringing people to himself. He is creating a new family. Jesus makes us family. And so this is the way that he does it, using us to witness and to bear witness to him about who he is and how he's calling us to be and live and move in this world. The Apostle Paul gives a great, I think, related image in Romans 11, saying how the Gentiles are being grafted into the olive tree, that Israel is the tree, and we are the ones who are grafted in. We did not belong here at first, but now because of Jesus' work and what he's called us to, we have become a part of this tree, the same roots, the same life source. You can see how this connects directly to John 15, that we are the vine, we are the branches. He is the vine, and we gain all of our life from him. Slightly different image, but same idea. We get everything we get from Jesus. And so what we're doing is continuing in our witness to gather in others so that they also may be grafted in. That's good news, to get more life. But what does it mean to witness? And what does it mean for us? What are some examples? Acts 1:8 says, Jesus is telling the disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So we see, like, okay, we're going to be Jesus' witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes. Good news, the Holy Spirit is here. It happened, we saw it at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. We heard a reading, and I'll read that again in a few minutes. Jesus himself comes to his disciples, and says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the very end of the age." Did that one from memory. That's become a very important verse for me. And I think in different parts of my life, it's looked kind of different what I expect the outcome of that to be, though I know it means go. I've come to believe, and you might be able to help shape my thoughts on this as I'm still wrestling with it, but I think there are a few poles of what witnessing means to people. On one side, it means I have to convert someone. I have to take people from not knowing or hearing about Jesus, and I got to introduce Jesus and take them all the way across the finish line, and that's what I do. That's witnessing. That's making disciples. And some of you look terrified. On the other pole is my witness is how I live a quiet life of faith, and others will see Jesus through me, and they will come to faith. And that's the other side. And some of you look relieved and others look disgusted. Like, that's not enough, right? So these are the poles. And we have people over here in this congregation and we have people over here in this congregation. And that's okay because we kind of pull each other. And there's also a middle way, I believe. And we'll get there. But let's look at those two. First, the first one, to convert someone, to bring person from not believing to believing. This is the aim of Peter when he's speaking in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit has come. The story of Pentecost, right? So everybody's praying in the upper room. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit comes like tongues of fire over their head, and all of a sudden the disciples are speaking in weird languages, and somebody's like, "You guys are drunk," and then Peter's like, what does he say? "These men are not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning," and then Thomas is like, "It's 5 o'clock somewhere," and Peter's like, "Guys, chill out. I gotta preach." So he says, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." He was talking to people who were there. He's talking to the other Israelites who would have known that they're waiting for a Messiah. This is important. "This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men," calling them out right there, "put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Now he's got people's attention because they're saying, okay, what's going to happen here? "God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it." When Jesus was raised, it says 500 bore witness to his life. We are all witnesses of it. So now he's just speaking to who Jesus is. "Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." He told them something true. "And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" And this is always the hope, right? When we tell somebody something true, our hope is that they're going to say, "Oh man, that's really true, and I should respond to that in some sort of way." In this example, in this sermon, in this encounter, Peter is speaking and everybody is cut to the heart. "What shall we do?" And Peter gives them a reply. "Does repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins." So there's repent, be baptized, go and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So baptize them, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise, I love this, and especially when you think of an Israelite lineage and how important this is, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. It's not just for Jerusalem or Judea, but it's till the ends of the earth. This is where we're going. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message, those who accepted, which implies to me there were those who did not accept his message. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I think that's a great example, and maybe like kind of the first example when we think of witness. It's sort of like give somebody the truth, they respond to it, and you pray a prayer with them, and they come to Jesus. How many of you, and you can raise your hands in the fellowship hall too so y'all can see, how many of you, when you think of witness or when I talk about witness, that's kind of like your first impulse? You're like, yeah, if somebody says you're supposed to witness, that's probably part of it. Anybody? Okay, yeah, about a percentage. I'm really good at math. And that's definitely a part of our witness. That's something we do and something God calls us to do, to speak the truth about him. There's a potential pitfall here when we think about this, because it can put everything on us rather than leaving the work to the Holy Spirit. Like, we think we're responsible. I need to say the right things and do the right whatever so that a person comes from antagonistic toward God, or maybe just not apathetic, maybe just apathetic toward God, and all of a sudden says, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of my life. Hallelujah. Take me to church. And that happens. So I'm not disparaging that. This is just part of it, though, all right? But sometimes, if we think it's all about what we do, we can kind of miss something. And so, because we don't want to have to take all the work for it, and we're like, well, it's up to the Holy Spirit, we jump to the other side and not say anything. And we've got some verses that are great, and they support this. Live, 1 Peter 2:12, I love this. Live such good lives among the pagans, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Like, I'm going to live a good, quiet, Jesus-centered life. I'm going to be formed by his character and his likeness. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go to the grocery store and be kind. I'm going to tip my waiters. I'm going to not be a jerk on the road. And these are all good things. And I love what John Mark Comer says. He says, I think I'll just mow my neighbor's lawn and hope they figure out Jesus rose from the dead. Like, I think there's so much truth to that, right? Well, I'm just going to do these things and hope that by my quiet witness, people just figure out Jesus raised from the dead and that salvation is for them. And they are also going to be adopted into this new family, right? Yes, that'd be awesome. And that's also good. Living a quiet witness is good. So I don't want to disparage that either. But we avoid the other pitfall, which is we leave everything to the Holy Spirit and excuse ourselves from even participation in what the Holy Spirit is doing by words. If you are here because someone told you about Jesus at some point in your life, raise your hand. I'm just going to keep waiting, because I think someone ever, like, Mark, I'm looking at you. No one ever told you about Jesus. I could pick on Mark because we pick on each other all the time. So that's the other side of it. I saw tons of hands go up because someone at some point, whether we were in a church service and we heard it from the front, or it was a grandparent, a parent, a neighbor, a friend, a colleague, a coworker, a uncle, an aunt, a child. Sometimes our children are the ones who bring us into the faith. Somebody told us about Jesus. So there's a speaking part to it. In that same letter, 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. Like, be ready for it if they ask, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against you and your good behavior may be ashamed of their slander. Do this with gentleness and respect. Be prepared to give an answer for those. And I think that's like the hope over here, right? Like, we want to live a quiet life and hope that somebody asks for that to happen. And I had that happen when I worked at a restaurant while I was in seminary. And I remember distinct the people coming up to me and saying, like, you live different than other people. What's that about? And there was an opportunity to share, like, well, Jesus has done this work in my life. And that's great. And I'd love to tell you more about Jesus. So there is that. So that's sort of where we get to the middle point, right? Because there's this, and maybe there's something in the middle. And for me, I think that in the middle is neither pure conversion or just the quiet witness, but storytelling, testimony. And that is when we share what we have witnessed of Jesus. When you think of a witness in a courtroom, they testify to what they have seen. What did you see? Well, I was at the corner and I was waiting at the light and this car turned this way and at the same time that light I saw was red and this person drove through it and hit that car and that's what I saw. This person turned, this person ran. That's it. And they don't have to be responsible for the outcome. They just witness to what they have seen. Similarly, when we witness to what Jesus has done, in many ways, I think we take so much pressure about the outcome. Like, oh man, if I tell this Jesus story and either they don't like Jesus or whatever, like that's all my responsibility. We just get to witness and we get to tell stories. And I wanted to invite you into some examples of these stories today. We have a couple stories from a couple of our teens, and then one more after that that I want to show you right now.
Hello, my name's Mila. My testimony is over the years I've had multiple friends struggling with mental health, so much to the point where I've talked three friends out of committing suicide, and most of my friends have told me that I am good at like talking to them and like helping them with stuff and talking, sharing their emotions. And I think Jesus, and like talking them out of stuff, and they always ask me how I do it, and I just say it's from Jesus because I always get a feeling and I always know what to say from Jesus because I feel like he always tells me what to do. And that's my testimony.
Hello, I am Layton, and this is my testimony within my faith in Jesus. My faith has always been influenced by my family ever when I was young, and I grew up in the church and being influenced by Jesus all the time. And as you start to get older, you kind of start to find your own way to, like your own route to Jesus. You want to figure it out yourself. You don't want others to figure it out for you. And within the past couple of years, I've had a lot of injuries, one almost fatal concussion, another concussion, fractured hip, a lot of injuries that have set me back. And Jesus has met me in those moments and has changed me for the better. And I would say the last past few months, Jesus has met me through Scripture. And I have started to read my Bible more, and I have started to have a desire to go after Jesus and to want him more. And we'll see where it goes. And he's wonderful.
Can we celebrate those? Guys, refuge is catching fire. Like the Holy Spirit's doing so much work through our teens. I want to invite up Tim to share his testimony.
Yeah. Thank you. My name is Tim Curran. I've been going to CLGC for about 7 years, and many of you, I've seen a lot of you around in that, but just in case you don't recognize me, I'm the guy that's been walking around with a patch for the last 4.5 months. And not because I forgot that Halloween was over, but 4.5 months ago, I got diagnosed with an eye condition where I woke up one morning and I had double vision. And, you know, without this patch on my eye, everything I saw was double. And so my wife and I were actually going on a 40th anniversary trip to Europe the day that I got this. And I decided we're still gonna go. You know, we got the tickets, so we're going. So I went over there, and I actually went into the hospital in Ireland when we got there, and they diagnosed it with a, a nerve condition in my eye. And he said, there's nothing we can do for you. We'll just, you just have to see if it heals up or not. So we went through the trip, came back, and I'm a person that likes to be on the go, and got back, and I couldn't drive, and I just had to spend a lot of time at home, a lot of time just kind of wrestling with God. You know, you go through the different stages. You go anger, disappointment, frustration, whatever. But during that time, God really, really worked on my heart, probably more than my eye. And I just want to tell you that in the last 2 weeks, God has healed my eye, and I am just so thankful for it. And that's really why I wanted to come up here today. Was I asked Dan if I could just give a little bit of a thank you for the two groups, actually. One of them is you guys. There was so many people that came up to me when I had this condition and said, hey, I'm praying for you, and I'm going to keep praying for you until you get healed. And I just want to say I really thank you for that. I really appreciate it, and I think a lot of times we don't take those prayers seriously or whatever, but I want you to know that I really did, and I really appreciate it. And the second person I want to thank is God, because God has been so good through this time, and he has taught me so much. I thought of an analogy, if I could use the vine here for a minute. A lot of times you think the fruit of the vine is these nice, sweet, juicy grapes, but once in a while, God throws in a few lemons there, too. And I think the best thing to do is pick those lemons, and rather than eat them as a lemon, make some lemonade out of it. And that's what I tried to do toward the end here. It's just to be thankful and just to know that God is faithful and his ways are the best. And I have a verse that I came across in reading in Psalms 105. I'd like to just finish with that. Verses 1 and 2. It says, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. I'm sorry. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. And so I'm here to tell you of his wonderful acts, and that God is a God of mercy, a God of grace, and a God of love. So thank you.
Thank you for that, Tim. So these are testimonies. This is when we witness to who God is and we share what he's doing in our lives, what he's doing in our hearts. We get to say, this is who God is. And after that, if we have the opportunity, if the door is open, or if there's any way that we can add it on there, we extend an invitation. Come and see. Come and see what he's like. And that could be, come have dinner with me. Come to church. Come somewhere to experience this with me. Come to my small group. But I think the biggest concern, and I've felt this in my life, and the conversation, I know a lot of other people have felt this too. The biggest concern is like, we don't want to push people away from Jesus. I don't want to do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing or live or act in such a way that I actually accidentally move the needle in the wrong direction. And so I'm going to play it safe and not do anything at all. And this is me calling myself out first. So if you've ever experienced that, this is, we're all still learning. A few reminders as we consider this. The first is that Jesus tells his disciples before he sends them out, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And he will be with us until the very end of the age. He's with us. And so we have that confidence that we have the Spirit of Christ in us. So it's like, okay, that's a great start. He's got the authority. He gives us his Spirit. Wonderful. So from there, it's essentially be reasonably sure that what you're calling them into looks like Jesus. right? If the thing that you're calling them into has, as we talk about the vine, if it has the fruit, right? If it looks like love, if it looks like joy, peace, if it looks like patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, if it looks like those things, then when you invite people into it, it's like, well, yeah, that looks like Jesus. That's what Jesus looks like. If it doesn't look like those things, then maybe it's like, oh, I don't know if I want to invite you into that thing because that might need some discernment there. And then finally, we lead with humility. We lead with humility. We don't all get it right all the time. I don't. You don't. We just don't. But that's the story of grace. God doesn't call us because he calls us into for us to be perfect. He's the one who makes us perfect in light of his grace. And so we're not calling people into something that we can do or manufacture ourselves. We just never could do that. We get to call people into a relationship with the God who accepts us anyway, and he loves us, and he grafts us into his tree, and he helps us to bear fruit because he is the life for us. So we witness as a continuation of the restoring work of Jesus in this world. And reproduction is such an important part of that fruit bearing. And it's not something we've talked about often. It's not just what are we doing and how are we living, but who are we bringing into it? Look next to you. Who's not here is the question for today. Who is God working on to graft into the family? And what we're going to pray now is, God, help me to see these opportunities and put me in the path of people who you are reaching out to. And I pray that we'll be surprised and have plenty of testimonies about what he's done from here. Can we pray together? Holy Spirit, help us to bear witness to who you are. Help us to bear witness to your love, your mercy, and your kindness. Pray that you would put people in front of us who desire to encounter the real you. In those moments, give us the peace and the words to say, even imperfectly, who you are. Help us to speak even when no one's asking. To call us, would you call us into those conversations? Thank you, Jesus, that the Spirit of the Lord rests upon you. And that you are the one that is proclaiming freedom to the prisoners and restoring sight to the blind. That you are freeing the oppressed. And as we invite people into things that look like you, may we do the same. Thank you for your great love. We pray all this, expecting you to continue to work through your church to bear much fruit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.